They would have preferred slavery over freedom. They've just experienced God's miraculous move through the plagues, through the deliverance. They've just been set free. They've just plundered Egypt because Egypt was giving them all their gold and all their stuff. But they have just seen God's hand at work, and in an instant, they're like, no, I want to go back. Hey, when I was much younger, much better looking, as a teenager, I went on a mission trip overseas. It was my first time out of the country. And had an incredible experience and experienced God in amazing ways, experienced different cultures, and it was just like this huge mountaintop style experience. As a teenager, we got home, and as the plane landed, or in that week just afterwards, the girl that I was dating, who was really good looking, ended the relationship with me. And as a teenager, it's like, devastated. But even worse than that was the moment that the plane landed back in Australia. The pastor that I've been traveling with said, "Hey, your parents said I wasn't allowed to tell you this until you're back in the country, but your pop is dying." And so immediately we jumped in the car and traveled 3.5 hours. I was jet lagged, I was extremely tired. And I saw my pop, first time I'd seen somebody that close to death. He died the next day. And I'd gone from experiencing God in all of his greatness to my entire world just crushing in on me. Have you ever experienced that? Everything seems so good for a moment. You feel close to God and then just like, what is going on? All these wrong things are happening. All these pressures are happening. It's just, what have I done something wrong? What do I do? And in that moment as a teenager, I just went back to all my old bad stuff. Like, I've just experienced God, but I defaulted to habits and practices, trying to do things on my own rather than trusting the God that I just experienced on the mission trip. If you've ever felt like you're in a moment where the world's crushing in and around you and you're not sure what to do, then this part of the passage in Exodus is going to speak directly to that, of the faithfulness of God and what actions we can do to put our trust in Him through those hard seasons. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a good God. You are a loving God. Lord, we know that your plans are great because you are outside of time. You know the past, present, and future. Yet, Lord, in the brokenness of this world, we feel so deeply the pressure of the world crushing in around us at times. Lord, I pray that we would be open and honest this morning to open up areas of our heart that maybe we have hardened because of the pressures of this world. We give you permission to speak into that with your loving, gentle voice, to help us to be who you want us to be, to rebuild what is broken and help us weather those storms and trust your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pick up our passage of Scripture where the Israelites have just come out of Egypt. And so what has happened is last week, Liam did an incredible job talking about the way that God had used the plagues and then this space of Passover and the final plague, the final way of devastating the horrendous things that Egypt had been doing, but devastating the Egyptians to the point where they would finally let God's people go. And now they are free and they have two options. They can either go through the shortcut, which is through the land of Canaan, which is where it was God's land originally, but other people had taken it over. And so they could take the shortcut or they could do the long way. And for some reason, which didn't make much sense to them at the time, God wanted them to go the long way. And so they went the long way, which led them to a point where they are backed up against the Red Sea. And there's not just a handful of people in this. Sometimes when I picture this story, I picture like a couple hundred people. I picture the cartoon version, and that's all nice. The Bible said that there's 600,000 men plus women and children. And so the best guess, is somewhere around 2 million people in this journey. And so when you hear that, you go, man, this is not no small thing. This is a huge group of people, the Exodus, right? They're exiting Egypt. They're heading towards freedom. And now they have their backs up against the Red Sea. And Pharaoh has just lost 2 million of his workforce. And once again, his heart gets hardened and he starts pursuing them. And that's where we pick up the passage today. We're in Exodus chapter 14 and Exodus chapter 15. They're our primary texts this morning. And so we see that there's this moment where Egypt has, where the Israelites have left Egypt, but there's still a work to be done. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. What do I mean by that? I mean that there was something familiar about Egypt. There was something that they knew, something that was routine, something that was understood. And all of a sudden, God is sending them into the unknown. They were free from Egypt, but there was something that hung on. And so they're in this space where they're backed up against the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army is heading towards them. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, we read, they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die?" It's like, wow. They're not pulling any punches. It's just kind of like, it's just straight to the worst case scenario. It's like, well, we're all dead. Like, that's it. And it's like, thanks, Moses. Yeah, great job. Good leader. Yeah, we're all here to die. Good, well there. Like, man, you can sort of see it's not just sarcasm in this. They are fearful. This is where they're at. "What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, leave us in Egypt, let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert." They were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. They would have preferred slavery over freedom. They've just experienced God's miraculous move through the plagues, through the deliverance. They've just been set free. They've just plundered Egypt because Egypt was giving them all their gold and all their stuff. But they have just seen God's hand at work, and in an instant they're like, no, I want to go back. It'd be better to be there than here. We're all going to die. Oh, the world was crushing in all around them. Instead of trusting God, instead of continuing to trust at that scene, they wanted to go back. See, they knew what slavery was like. They understood slavery. They could predict slavery. Freedom was unknown. The reality is that people often choose familiar pain over uncertain freedom. People choose familiar pain over uncertain freedom. And I wonder if there's areas of your life that you're stuck. Are you stuck in bitterness? Rather than forgiving somebody for something they did, you are so stuck in the bitterness that actually becomes part of your identity. Stuck in unhealthy patterns, avoiding God's call, refusing to step into ministry. The step into ministry might be as simple as, hey, be a Christian witness in your workplace. That's ministry. And you go, no, that's too hard. I'd just rather be one of the guys, one of the girls. Go with the flow. Remaining comfortable rather than obedient when God calls you to step out. People often choose familiar pain over uncertain freedom. If I let go of that event in my life, then who am I? If I stop being identified by a moment of horrendous stuff when the world crashed in, if I let go of that, then it may happen again. So you remain captured, remain in Egypt, remain controlled by that moment. You see, for Israel, the greatest threat to Israel wasn't Pharaoh. It was their desire to return to what God had already rescued them from. It wasn't that it was just familiar. God had freed them from that. They were set free from slavery, from captivity. And all of a sudden, as soon as the times got hard, they wanted to return to the familiar. I wonder if there's something that God has called you out of that you are tempted to return to. There is a season that God has called you to step out in faith, but you just go, nah, I want to go back. There is a relationship that you were set free from that you go back to, even though you know it's toxic and wrong. I wonder if there's a way of dealing with an area of your life, whether at work, finance, family, social groups, that you've been set free from, but you just go back to that group that is a bad influence. Because maybe you feel love, but for all the wrong reasons. I wonder if there's an area that you're set free from that you keep going back to. The way to remain free, the way to resist going back, is all bound up in a single word. And the word is trust. Freedom requires trust before you can see. It's that idea of sort of blind faith. Yeah, that idea of not knowing what is next, but trusting God before you see what's about to take place. Trust is so hard to trust God when God has given us intellect and abilities and capabilities and we just want to do stuff ourselves. We live in a culture where, you know, some of the biggest slogans are, you can do it. Where the Bible says, no, you can't. God can, but it's hard to trust. And this is God's message to the Israelites. 2 million people backed up against the sea, an army rushing down with your family and your livelihood, your livestock and everything ready to go. I know as a bloke, I just like, yeah, fight or flight. There's no flight. It's the Red Sea. It's fight. That's all you got. Let's go. Yeah, that's all you got. Like there'd be a moment of like, yeah, even if it's futile, I'm going to give it everything I got to protect my family. Like, oh. But then this is what God says through Moses, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Those words are so easy to say, but can you picture it? It's just kind of like, oh, sure, thanks, Moses. I don't know what I was worried about. It's the army, sea, thank you. Now that you said don't be afraid, everything's all okay, right? Like, how hard would that be? The army's still coming. The dust cloud in the distance is still there. Don't be afraid. It's like, you know, imagine, you know, practice your breathing, people. Practice your breathing. Let the anxiety level. Like, you know, it's like, can you picture that moment? Don't be afraid. These are easy words to say, really hard to do. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring today. Trust, faith. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. This is part of God's plan. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Oh, how hard is that to be still? When everything's crashing in, you just want to do it, you want to fix it, you want to defend it, you want to run away from it, fight or flight, all the responses that happen in those moments. But God says, be still. Later in Scripture, it says, be still and know that I am God. The word be still means to let go of control. To let go. To be and let God. To let go of this idea of control. To surrender to Him. To be still. Now by human standards, this is just insane. There's an army coming. Right? Imagine a movie where they put this into biblical context. And it's like from an Israelite's perspective, that's like, you know, in usually movies, it's like they come down and they're like gearing up. It's like, yeah, warrior. But like this movie is just like, okay. It'd be a pretty boring movie. They're just standing there, right? And when being still doesn't mean just not moving, but being still is just like praying, getting their family together, praying to God, sharing stories of His faithfulness, being still. Easy words to say, hard to do. The sea hasn't parted yet. The miracle hasn't happened. The solution isn't visible. All they have is God's promise. The Lord will fight for you. This is what faith looks like. Not trusting after the miracle, but trusting before it. You see, you don't need to know the way that God is going to deliver us from hard times. We just need to trust the one who does. You don't need to see the way. You just need to trust the one who does. I wonder if God's asking you to trust him with an area of your life right now, before you know where the outcome is. There's an area maybe you're controlling, an area maybe you're running back to Egypt. Running back to an area where you feel comfortable, even though you know it's not quite right. And God's saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. It's in this moment where God then speaks to Moses. And once again, he keeps using this incredible, incredible tool, which we all have. And that's when God says, you know, what's in your hand? What's in your hand to serve him? What skills have you got? And Moses, back when he was called with a burning bush, he had a staff in his hand. What's in your hand? Moses has a staff. And that same staff, that same shepherd's crook, shepherd's staff that he had, was what was used to do so many incredible things through the book of Exodus. And this is one of those things. God says, hold out your staff over the Red Sea. Can you picture Moses going, okay, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going on. And then the sea starts to part. This is no short, small thing. 2 million people are going to walk through this. This is a big thing. It's going to take time. It wasn't just like a big wave came and it sort of stopped for a bit. Like, this is a big chunk of time. The sea parted and the Israelites walked through, the Bible says, on dry ground. This is a massive, massive event. I've been a little bit sick this week, and so maybe this is just my sick humor, but when I was researching, I found this next slide, this picture. I laughed lots. Once again, I don't know if it's because I was crook. I was like, yeah, that's really funny. But there's it's a big chunk of time that goes by. And they get across to the dry land on the other side. And the Bible says that then the Egyptian army sees this. And I just cannot fathom the arrogance of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. They see, once again, an incredible sign of God's power in front of them, and they still choose to go through the center of it. And they follow Israel through the sea. They're chasing them on their chariots. The army tanks of the time, the war horses and the chariots are flying through, chasing after Israel. And God says to Moses, extend your staff again. And the waves come crushing back in. And we see that the master plan that God had all along wasn't just to set Israel free in the sense of you're not in the land, but they were still had ties to Egypt. Because at any point, Pharaoh could have said, no, we want to get them back, go and chase them. And for the rest of their lives, they would have been looking over their shoulders, afraid of Egypt chasing them. But God's plan was bigger. They couldn't see it on one side of the Red Sea. They didn't know God's plan. All they had was fear. But on the other side, they look back and go, oh, I can see God's hand and provision. And we see that the separation, chapter 14 is fear. God, what are you doing? We're all going to die. And the next chapter, it's like, you're the best. How amazing are you? And I wonder if there's moments in life where you need to stop and look back at the hard seasons because God had a plan through it. Now, God didn't cause Pharaoh to be a jerk. But God was able to do amazing things because of Israel's obedience. And there's moments in life where we need to look back and worship God because he's worthy of worship. There's moments when we need to look back at those hard seasons and see God's hand at work. Exodus chapter 15, we see the response. So I'm bouncing back and forwards back on this a bit. Exodus chapter 15, we see the response where Moses and the Israel sing this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. I wonder if there's times when we forget that while we're still worrying, he's working. There's a worship song that says, even when we don't see it, you're working. When we don't feel it, you're working. There's often times, you know, much like in the Egyptian story, in the story of Exodus, where there's the other side of the Red Sea that no one's seen. No one sees God's plan. They're feeling anxious, but there is a bigger picture. And I want you to know, for our lives, often God has a master plan, a bigger picture that he wants to reveal to us, but sometimes we've got to go through the storms. Sometimes we've got to go through these seasons, and God doesn't make them. It's a broken world. That's what causes them. But God can use them to help us, to help others, to help us be who he's called us to be. So the journey from fear to worship begins with trusting God's faithfulness. Can you look back in your life and remember a season where God made a way where there seemed to be no way? The same God who was faithful then is the same God that will be faithful today. Israel's problem wasn't the Red Sea. Israel's problem wasn't Pharaoh. Israel's problem wasn't what was to come in the wilderness. Their biggest battle was learning to trust God with an unknown future. And that's often our battle as well. Salvation can get us out of Egypt, but trust teaches us how to live free. As we step into new chapters in our life, new chapters in the church, new chapters in your family, are we going to let fear pull us back to what's familiar? Or will we let trust in God, who's already brought us this far, bring us in to what is next? It's really good to stop and look back. It's really good to take moments and times when we just stop and look back at the season and look for God's fingerprints all the way through it. It can be a hard season, a really painful season, but we can see, hey, God was faithful there. And if we have the right filters in which to look at it, you go, man, God gave me that person to journey with me. He gave me that idea or that verse, that passage, that song that got me through that moment. And he was faithful, even in the midst of the pain and the suffering. It's good to stop and look back and go, thank you. But God doesn't want us to stand on that side of the Red Sea. There's more of the journey to come. Almost 100 years ago, the faithfulness of this church said, hey, we've got this great weatherboard chapel, this great weatherboard church building that we're going to pull down and we're going to build a brick one. Sounds like Three Little Pigs, right? and so they ripped down the weatherboard church. I'm sure ripping down. They probably pulled it down with reverence. And they pulled down the old church and they rebuilt a brick chapel, a brick church. And they built a new hall to go along with it. And I'm sure there was moments where they looked back and said, thank you, God, for taking us through this season of the church and that we outgrew that old weatherboard church and we pulled it down to build something new, and we thank you. And they stopped there and they would have worshipped God. The beauty of York Street is they didn't stop there. That building is our youth hall. That hall that they built is our cafe hall. They kept building. They kept stopping, looking back with gratitude through the ups and downs and the different seasons that the church has been through, seeing God's fingerprints all over it to the point where they built this chapel in their late 80s, early 90s. In the 2010s, built out the wing with a playground and like incredible faith. And God will continue to build his church. And I want you to know God will continue to build in your life as well. I am so grateful for the experience that God has given me. When my pop died, it was really hard. But I learned some great lessons. I learned some things that I should do and shouldn't do. One of them is that never smoke. He was a multiple packets a day smoker, and that's what one of the things that killed him. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but very seriously, it's why I don't touch cigarettes. I learned many great lessons. The pot was full of life, full of energy. And while it's sad that he's not here, I learned from it. The relationship with that really good-looking girl that ended, I'm really happy that ended. I got a better one. Inside and out, most beautiful woman I've ever known. That wouldn't happen if I'd gone back to familiar and stayed there. God can take us through hard seasons and form us to help us with what's next. An experience of grief can help me help those that are grieving. I now have teenage children that at times go through heartbreak. It's like, oh man, I've got a point of reference from the season I went through that I can share with them and love on them. God doesn't cause the problems. God didn't cause Egypt to chase them. But God was able to deliver them and make that into something positive. He can do the same with your life. It's good to look back, but keep looking forwards. Step out in faith, and God will reveal his plan. Praise him for his goodness and trust in his plans above your own. Because through Christ, we are free indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this incredible passage of Scripture where you freed Israel totally from slavery, totally freed them from the bondage that they would never have to look back over their shoulders. And that is true freedom. Lord, I pray that you would do the same for us, that you would truly set us free as we step out in faith, that we wouldn't go back to the things that once held us captive. Lord, that we would look back with gratitude and worship to see the way that you have brought us so far, that we would look back and see your fingerprints working in and through our lives in different ways. Lord, I pray that in those moments, Lord, that we would learn to continue to trust you as the next storm approaches, as the next thing that would make us fearful, make us want to fight or flight would rise up, that we would be still and know that you are God, that we would remember your promises, and that we would step out in faith, that you fight the battles that are far greater, far bigger than the plans that we would have for ourselves. Lord, I pray for those that may be wrestling with this. Lord, I pray that your loving, guiding nature, that your spirit would go before, and that you would help them to see that you are trustworthy, you are faithful, that you keep your promises, and you promise to be with them as they step out of that captivity, out of that slavery, and into freedom. Give them the boldness and the faith to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's service. And if you are looking for any resources to continue to connect in, you can find them on the links below or on our website. We'd love to see you in the building sometime at one of our future services. And remember, no matter what happens this week, keep coming back.